And I have to say, this could be probably one of the best times that the lessons apply to type of a who, what, when, where, how, and why sermon. So the who, well, we know that. We know that's Jesus. But before we get into that, let's back up just a little bit. Jesus heard that John the Baptist had been arrested, and John was arrested by Herod. It's never safe, and it's actually very, very dangerous to begin to rebuke or denounce a tyrant's marriage. And that's exactly what John did. Herod had married his brother Philip's wife, Herodias. Not the right thing to do. And even more dangerous than Herod the despot was Herodias, the new wife. Now John was in prison, and you'll hear the rest of that story in another Sunday. Jesus knew, though, here's the way, Jesus knew that now was the time for him to begin his ministry. Jesus listened to God. He paid attention to all of the signs. He was focused on obeying God the Father totally. And Jesus was ready. He knew his stuff and began to preach repentance. And we'll get back to that in just a minute. But let's think first about the where. Jesus moved to Galilee. And I thought it was really kind of interesting. I thought it was neat that Galilee actually means circle of Gentiles. In the north was the Syrians. In the east was the Syrians. In the south, the Samaritans lived. And then on the west, they never got to the shore because the Phoenicians lived on the west. So it was like a whole circle of Gentiles. Also in Galilee, all the great roads were in Galilee. You couldn't get to or through without going through all of these roads. It was the place to go. Galilee was the place to be. Now, the area of Galilee itself was probably one of the most fertile areas there were. The soil was rich, perfect for growing crops and perfect for raising cattle and raising livestock. The land was productive. It was rich. It had endless resources. And the area had a variety of trees, flowers, crops, all types. It was plush. And the people who lived there were very much like the land, if we kind of study up. They were productive. They were very fertile. They were ready for anything. For the most part, they were ready to hear any new message or any new idea. It was a very highly populated and booming area. The people were inquisitive, innovative, open-minded, courageous, very energetic. And what really was interesting when I kind of looked this up, honor was more important to them than gain or money. They were a motivated people. Jesus picked his place really well. He had common sense and he used it. He also had uncommon sense, and he used it. He also had spiritual sense, and he used that too. Jesus loved God first and foremost above all else. And Jesus loved them and us, all of his people, more than anything except for God the Father. And he knew what he had to do to accomplish our salvation for us and our redemption. Jesus went right to the point when he started. He went right to the heart of the matter. Repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. Now, repentance and penitence both basically mean that, well, I'm sorry. In other words, I did something wrong. Having no excuses, not blaming anyone else, but it's the person, it's us, personally admitting our own fault or our own sin. To repent is more. It's us changing our behavior, changing our attitude, turning around, having kind of like an about face in what we think, what we say, and what we do. It is our action of change that is our repentance. It's our repenting. To repent is an action. To repent is change. When we know Jesus, we change from sin to righteousness. In other words, having right actions before our God, following God's will, not ours, turning back to God and his way. And here comes Jesus with his common sense, uncommon sense, and spiritual sense again in the how-to. Jesus used an absolutely superb example for these men, for these people, fishing. He said, "Follow me and I will make you fish for people." Now, if we think about it, fishing takes work. It takes an interest. It takes energy. It takes personal involvement. And think of the bait, the hook, the string, I know that's not right, but the string that you use. And if we change it over, we need Jesus for when we fish for people. We need the Bible. We need our mouth. We need our actions. We need our love and our care. For fishing, we need care too. We need patience. And we actually need a little bit of tolerance and finesse and timing. The ability to sit there and wait. To be quiet, to be still, and to be aware of or feel the gentle tug from the fish on the reel. For when the fish is ready to be caught, we need to be able to sense the when and the where and the how to reel them in. Well, it's our time now to continue Jesus' ministry. And we must want to fish for our God. Plus, we are to want the fish, the people, almost like having a hunger or a desire to bring, like, fish on our table to eat. Well, we want to have a desire to bring fish, people, to God's table so they can eat. They can have communion with their Lord. Let's follow Jesus, just like Peter and Andrew and James and John followed the Lord. Let's follow Jesus' ministry, remembering not only ourselves, but to draw all people, everyone who will listen, to our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bringing ourselves and one another and all others back to God for salvation and redemption, and to have true life in Jesus Christ. Jesus is faithful always, and he gave us his gift. If we follow him, he will catch us, and we can catch others. So I'd like to end with another verse or two from Matthew. Matthew chapter 13, towards the end, verse 47. Again, the kingdom of God is like a net which was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into vessels and threw away the bad. Our God, through Jesus, wants and desires to catch us and to bring us in to himself, to the vessel. Let's draw closer to him, just as the fish are drawn into the net. Let's choose to repent and be God's chosen people. Amen.